You're listening to Andy Dean on America Now.
All right, we're back, and I'm obviously the king of new content. We're covering the Troy Davis case. It's very, very important, but we're going to do it with a guest who hates me. His name is Mitch Langberg. He's a constitutional attorney, a First Amendment advocate. He's a partner at Brownstein Hyatt Law Firm, one of the best law firms in the California state. Mitch, welcome to the program, sir. How are you?
Thanks, Andy. Did you just say I hate you?
Maybe my views. Did I take it too far, Mitch? I engage in hyperbole to keep our audience entertained. It's a sad gag, but I have to do it.
I won't do anything to interfere with your inalienable right to be wrong, but I don't hate you.
Oh, thank you. You're a scholar and a gentleman. Now, before the love fest begins, why don't we get into the case of Troy Davis? Very, very important, because it's not just about Troy Davis. It's about the way the mainstream media can manipulate a death penalty case with a real victim who is Mark McPhail, a police officer who had a young child, and Mark McPhail's family who suffered and was tortured by this sick individual, Troy Davis, who even on his deathbed told people he was innocent, because obviously when you have the ACLU and Al Sharpton and all these people, it would have been too much for him at the end to tell the truth. So even on his way out of this world, he lived a disgraceful existence. Not to mention, as I talked about, he shot somebody on the way to Burger King, not to mention Mark McPhail, the police officer who's trying to help a homeless person that Troy Davis pistol whipped. But why let facts get into the case? So I want to pick your brain, Mitch, but let's go over real quick in case people are just joining us. They've tried to turn this Troy Davis, who's executed last night in the state of Georgia, into a race case, when in fact seven of the jurors were African-American, when in fact casings from the .38 caliber bullets he was using matched the casings from the shooting prior that night in the car that he was in. We also have the fact that he left town that night and drove 3 hours west to Atlanta. And then we have a bunch of circumstantial evidence, including DNA. They keep saying, well, where's the DNA? It was on a bunch of bloody shorts that the prosecution wanted to use, but they couldn't because the search warrant they used was deemed inadmissible. So I could talk for hours on this case of why Troy Davis is guilty. This is very clear cut. And anybody who actually looks at the facts, and why bother? Because we know Michael Moore and Al Sharpton, if there's a camera around, they're not going to look at the facts. They just want to be in front of the camera. Mitch, tell me where I'm crazy. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Well, you know, there's two things to talk about. Really, should we have the death penalty? But even if we are, should the death penalty be imposed upon people where there's questions like there are here? You say Michael Moore and Al Sharpton, you forget to mention the director of the FBI, who was appointed by President Reagan, William Sessions, also publicly denounced the execution of this man because he thought that there were enough questions that demanded a retrial. And how can you have people...
But Mitch, okay, let's assume he's right, William Sessions, and he demands a retrial. Okay, from the statistics I'm looking at, the shooting took place in 1989. He was executed in 2011. He went through seven different forms of appeals in state court, federal court, and went to the Supreme Court. It was sent back down. And then obviously, the governor took a look at this. How many more people of both liberal and conservative bent? And they all say the same thing, which is that Troy Davis committed this murder. So look, is there going to be doubt in any case? Absolutely, there's doubt. But he had a trial. It's not like this guy shot somebody and then 3 months later we're executing him. I'd be against that, okay? I'm not a madman. This isn't Iran and Ahmadinejad's justice system. Okay, this guy's had 22 years. So please, Mitch, think of something better. Come with me at something better than saying, Andy, there's confusion here. Yeah, the case is a little complicated, but it's not that complicated. Give me something substantial, Mitch. You owe me something better.
Let me tell you why William Sessions thought there should be a retrial, because everything that happened before that was not a retrial. There's a big difference. When you have a trial and then you have seven key witnesses either recant their testimony or change their testimony or say that they have been intimidated by the police, okay, then there should be another chance to have a trial. What happened on all of these appeals...
Mitch, I have to stop because you just threw down a huge bomb and I have to respond to it. These seven people, this is what the ACLU and Al Sharpton say, okay, the key witness here was a member of the Air Force, an enlisted man who identified Davis as the killer. He has not changed his testimony. The other seven people... majority of them, and this isn't me being hyperbolic, were drug addicts or people in trouble with the police, and I'm not disagreeing, but what happens is the ACLU corners them and says, hey, do you remember 15 years ago when you were doing this, this, and this? And the guy's like, oh, maybe I was wrong 15 years ago. And then they have a crowd of 100,000 people, so they want to feel like a hero, and then maybe they can get a speaking engagement to talk about why Troy Davis is innocent. And so all of these things happen, but when they're brought into an actual court of law, Mitch, which I would think you would